tonight we're going to talk about that life is short and eternity is long. And that's an important thing for us to have in our mind. It's a perspective that gives us wisdom. It helps us to realize what is really important and what's not. It's so easy to kind of get caught up in this life and feel like that these 70 years or so, or 80, or if we're really lucky, 90 years, is life. And really, it's just a very small part of life. Life is eternal. And it begins when we're born, but it continues on for eternity. And the beginning part of it is really, really small. And that's this time that we spend here on earth in this body. And if we don't think of it in those terms and realize that we're in this thing for the long run, that this is an eternal life that we're living, then we may have the wrong priorities. We may not live this life to the best of our ability. And so we're going to look at a few passages tonight. And really, this idea is all through the scriptures, that life is short, that eternity is what's important, and that we need to have that perspective. That's really what wisdom is. So let's start in Psalm 39. Psalm 39. We're going to read a couple of psalms, and then we'll look at a few passages in the New Testament. Psalm 39. This is a psalm of David. He wrote a lot of psalms. And this one says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. So David made this commitment that he was going to guard his ways. He was going to, you know, protect the way that he lived and the way that he spoke. And he was going to restrain himself in the things that he said and did. Verse 2, I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. So he keeps quiet. Now there's this idea that, you know, speaking a little and listening a lot is a wise thing to do. So he's not speaking any more than he needs to. And he says that he's musing, he's thinking, he's meditating on the things of God and on his word. And as he does that, then it begins to burn within his heart. You see that idea in the scriptures in several places too, about this, God's word being within us and it being something that burns and that we need to get out. It says, then I spoke with my tongue, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? So the thing that he asked the Lord to do after he thought about it for a long time, he was quiet and he thought, and finally he came to the realization that what he needed from the Lord was for the Lord to help him realize how short his days were, to realize how frail that he really was. Now, David was a king, right? He was the leader of a country, and he did, you know, extraordinary things. It would be easy for him to become arrogant, for him to think that he was something. And what he wanted the Lord to do was to help him to realize what he really was, that he was a frail and weak person who had a very short lifespan. He says, he asked that the Lord would help him to measure his days, to think about how long life is. And we'll look at another passage in a minute that talks about that. But really 70 years is kind of a fairly average lifespan. And it is kind of interesting that that was the average lifespan at this time, and that's pretty much the average lifespan today. It hasn't always been that way. It kind of goes up and down, but it really doesn't go much above this or much below it. It'll go a little bit below and a little bit above, but overall, it kind of fluctuates in this area. So he says, help me to know how long my life is. 70 years is a really short lifespan. It's not very much time. So he says, verse 5, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. What is a handbreadth? Okay, what about this?
About 4.5 inches.
4.5 inches. It is a way to measure, right? So Today, when we measure things, we'll pull out a tape measure and we'll measure this thing, or we'll pull out a yardstick or a ruler or something like that, and we'll measure things, right? Well, if you don't have one of those things, you got to measure with something. So one of the things that people would use would be hand breadths. And I'm sure, from what I understand, they used to use that in horses a lot to measure the height of a horse. But so he's saying that our life is really short. It's so short that you can measure it with something little like a hand. You don't need a really long stick to measure it with. All you need is just a hand breadth, because it's a short thing to measure. And you can't. It's hard to measure the distance between, you know, here in Montgomery and hand breadths. That's a long ways. You measure that in miles. But a life, the idea here is that lives are so short that they could be measured with hand breadths, with a really small measurement. And he says, certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. What is vapor?
Mist, steam.
Yeah. So like when you put a pot on the stove and you start boiling that pot and steam starts coming out of it, vapor starts coming out of it. And what happens to that vapor?
Evaporates.
It evaporates. It dissipates really quickly. You know, you see it coming out of there and then it's just gone. It's kind of like when we go outside and it's really cold outside and we breathe the vapor, we can see it coming out of our mouth, but it doesn't stay there long. Really quickly, it just goes away. And that's what he's saying here. Just like the vapor that comes out of our mouth when it's cold outside, just like the steam that comes up out of the pot when we're boiling water, it doesn't get very far before it's gone. And that's what our lives are like. They're very short. They're very frail. Verse 6. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. So you see this idea in several places too, in Proverbs and in other places. I believe in Ecclesiastes also, this idea that we live our lives trying to accomplish things. And we heap up money, we heap up possessions, we heap up whatever it is that we need, food, and we think that we're making progress, right? I've got a house, I got it paid for, I've got a car, and I've got the things that I need, and I'm accomplishing these things, and I'm getting somewhere in life. Even when you think of the richest people on earth that have billions of dollars, they've been accumulating and accumulating and accumulating, and what's going to happen to them one day? They're going to die. And then when they die, what's going to happen? Somebody else is going to get all that money.
Solomon says their kids are going to throw it away.
Yeah. He says that people that didn't work for it are going to spend it for you. That's what's going to happen. And that's really, you know, it's easy to see with a billionaire, but that's true of all of us. We work and we pile this up all of our lives, and we get to the end, we die, and somebody else spends it who did not earn it. And that's what he's saying here. He says, you know, we busy ourselves, we become busy, and we take up all of our time in vain. What does vain mean? Empty. Things that really aren't worth anything. So all this piling up of riches is really vain. It's empty. There's really nothing to it, because life is so short and eternity is so long, and these riches are of so little value here. And somebody else is going to spend them, it says, and does not know who will gather them. So we heap them up, and then when we die, somebody else gathers them in and spends them for us. Verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? So, if life is frail and short, and it can be measured with a really small measurement, like hand breadths, it's so short, and everything about life at its best, it says, every man at his best state is but a vapor. At the very best that life could possibly be, it's just a vapor, just like the steam coming out of our mouth when we walk outside in the cold. And that no matter how much we accomplish, no matter what we pile up, we're going to die one day and somebody else is going to gather it to them and just forget about us, and it's going to be gone. So, what do I wait for? He says, my hope is in you. That's the thing we need to realize, that all of this stuff is vapor. Only one thing lasts. There's only one thing that we can get that's eternal, and that's God. And it's the things, it's getting Him and knowing Him and doing things for Him that lasts. Those are the things that will be eternal. That's like that quote that Joe uses oftentimes, that the only things that will get back to heaven are things that started there. It's the things that God wants us to do, and the things that we do for Him that stay with us for eternity. That's that gold, silver, and precious stones that will pass through the test and be rewards that we'll be able to give to Him for eternity. So our hope is in Him, not in these things down here. So He says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. So this whole life, the things that go on here at their very best, generally don't make it to heaven. Most of that stuff is consumed as wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what he's talking about here. It will be consumed by the blow of his hand. And that all that is left is the hope that we have in him. He is the thing. He is what life is worth. Or he is the thing in life that is worthwhile, rather. So he is what we need to seek. He is the only thing that we can hope in. Nothing else matters. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. And actually, I had forgotten that Moses wrote psalms, had written some songs. And I was like, hey, I forgot about that. Moses wrote songs too. So we've got another man that's a very powerful man. He was also the leader of Israel. And here's what he has to say. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This is that same idea that David had. Of what is the thing that I should hope for? What is life about? My hope is in the Lord. Moses starts off the same way. He says, before anything else existed, before there was mountains, before there was a house, before there was anything in the world, before the earth was formed, from everlasting, from eternity all the way back, to everlasting, from eternity all the way forward, there is only God. He is eternal. Verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. So he's saying, for God, 1,000 years is like yesterday. So for me to think about how long ago yesterday was is for God to think about how long ago 1,000 years was. And then he gives another analogy. Not only is it like just thinking about yesterday, but it's also like a watch in the night. What is a watch in the night? The first thing that came to my mind was like a wristwatch. I'm like, what is it? A watch in the night? What does that have to do with it? You can't see it in the dark. You push the little button and it glows. No, they didn't have those, right? What is a watch in the night?
2 hours.
It could be various times, but it's a short period of time where you guard at night. Whether it's 2 hours or a longer amount, it's a short period of time in the night where you're watching and guarding for the camp or the city or whatever. And he's saying that for him, 1,000 years is like a watch in the night to us. I mean, if you stayed at the longest, you know, say if it was an 8-hour shift, it would be like a day of work for us is 1,000 years for him. The point he's making here is how he's eternal and we're so temporary. You carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep. He said those 1,000 years, for you, they just rush by like a flood. They're just like going to sleep for a few minutes and taking a nap. That's what 1,000 years is like to him. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening, it is cut down and withers. Again, here's this idea. Here's some grass in the morning. You cut it down, and by the end of the day, it's dried up and shriveled up and dead. So all these are analogies of, for God, 1,000 years to him is really, really short. It's like these really, really short things for us. It's like yesterday. It's like one shift on our job. It's like taking a nap. It's like cutting grass in the morning, going out and looking at it in the evening and seeing that it's dried up from the sun. That's how short our life is. It's like that compared to him. Compared to even just 1,000 years for him. Verse 7. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. So our life is short, and it is a life of difficulty, and it goes away very quickly. And really, yeah, this whole thing about life being short and death is the result of what? Sin. So the fact that our lives are so short are because of the wrath and the judgment of God on sin in general. That's why we die. So we see that our lives are really short. They're consumed by God's anger and his wrath because of our iniquities, because of our sins. And we die. We have a short life and it's over with. Verse 9. For all of our days... I've already read that part. Verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years. I think some translations say 70. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So what he's saying here is that life is short. 70 years is a normal lifespan. Some people make it to 80. Some people even make it a little bit beyond that. But that's what the normal life for people is. 70 to 80 years is a normal lifespan. And the thing that we have to boast about in life is our labor and our sorrow. And then our life is cut off and we fly away. That's the end. Who knows the power of your anger? Verse 11. For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So his final conclusion here is that because our lives are short, because our lives are lived in sin and we're going to die one day, and when we die, we're going to fly away to be with him, we need to learn this lesson. And that lesson is to number our days, to count our days so that we can gain or get a heart that is wise. Because one of the first things that we need to do to be wise is to understand how short this life is. If we think this life is what it's all about, then we're going to live a very foolish life, maximizing these 70 or 80 years. But if we realize that life is about eternity, then we're going to use these 70 or 80 years in such a way that it benefits us for eternity. It's interesting, this idea, teach us to number our days. I've thought about doing this. I read about it several years ago, and I keep thinking I'm going to do it one day, and I never have done it. But this guy, what he did was, he took this passage, and he says, okay, 70, maybe 80 years. The average lifespan, I don't know what it is right now, but it's somewhere in the 70s. So what he did was, he took the average lifespan, and he calculated how many years he had left in the average lifespan. And then he calculated how many days he had left. And then what he did was he went to one of the arts and crafts stores and he bought this big glass vase that you would stick like big flowers and stuff in that stand up, you know, about this tall. And then he went over into the section where you get the little bitty colored glass pebble looking things that you do decorations with. You put them in glass things, or you put them in the bottom of aquariums, those sorts of things. And he bought the number of those that he has days left in his life based on the average lifespan. So what he did was he numbered his days. He counted them out. He bought enough of these little rocks to be however many days he has. He got this clear vase thing, big vase thing, and he poured all those little rocks into that vase. And what he did was he set that in his bedroom over by the door. So every morning after he gets up and he gets ready and he gets dressed, before he leaves, he walks by that vase and he reaches down and he pulls out one of those little glass rocks and he sticks it in his pocket. And as he goes through the day, he finds, every time he puts his hand in his pocket, that little rock is there to remind him of this is a day. And when he gets home in the evening, at the end of the day, he takes that rock and he thinks about, what did this day mean? What did I do today for the Lord? And then he takes that rock and he throws it in the garbage. that day's gone. You can't get it back. And every time he walks by that vase, he sees how many days he has left. And he thinks about how he should use those days. That helps him to have a more wise perspective, as Moses said here, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. So because our time in this world is so short, we have to be very careful that we don't think about this world and this life as being the important thing. And we have to make sure that we don't love this world too much. And that's what John is talking about here in verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. That's that thing that David was talking about a while ago, that you heap these things together, you love them and you want them and you heap them up and you heap them up, and then one day you die, somebody else gathers them and spends them for you. That's what he's saying here. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So what are those kinds of things that we gather together? The things that we desire in the flesh, that we lust after, that we want. There's the lust of the flesh, things that we enjoy, pleasurable things. There's the lust of the eyes, things that look good, things that we want other people to see, things that we see and we want. And then the pride of life, just this general pride of living and thinking that we are something and that we don't need the Lord and that we're sufficient of our own. Those are the sorts of things and the sorts of attitudes that comes from the world. And it is not of the Father, these things, but of the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. So that's the whole idea here. The world is short. It's only here for a short time. It's passing away. And all these things that you could desire in the world, that you could accumulate for yourself, all of these things are passing away as well. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So on one side, you have all these things that the world has to offer, and that are desirable things that we could desire and spend our life chasing after. And on the other side of that, contrasted with that, is the will of God. The things that God wants us to do. So what we need to do, if we're going to be wise and we're going to use these short 70 or 80 years in a way that God would have us to, in a way that's the most advantageous for us even, we need to use them in such a way that we are focused on spending them not on the things of the world that we see and desire and want and can accumulate together for ourselves, and that when we die somebody else will spend, but we need to have our time focused on the will of God. Because those are the things that abide forever. Those are the things that come from him that Joe talks about, that starts in heaven. His will starts there. It comes to us. And if we follow that, then those are the things that abide forever. That's the way that we spend our life, in such a way that when we die, we take it with us. And they say you can't take it with you. Well, that's just not really true. You can't take with you the things of this world. That's why it's so foolish to chase after them and to accumulate those. But what we can take with us are the things that we do for God. Those things that start in heaven, and when we hear his will and we do it and we do those things for him, those things are eternal. Those things we can take with us. Those are the things that abide or last forever. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. (Clears throat) 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So, what does it mean to have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit? That means you've been saved, right? To those of you who have been saved. So since you have been saved, because you have been saved, because you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So because you've been saved, we need to love each other with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we're born again, and we're given this incorruptible part of ourselves now. Now we have this eternal part that will last forever and will be with the Lord forever. And it comes from the word of God, which also lives and abides forever. So we have God's will lives and abides forever. It's eternal. Also, his word lives and abides forever. And we first accept his word when we get saved through the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. And we're born again. And when we're born again of something that's incorruptible, that can't be destroyed ever. Because, verse 24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Here's that contrast again. Like it showed, talked about that earlier back in Psalms. You cut the grass and by the end of the day, it's all withered up and dead. We're not like that. We're not a corruptible thing that can be dried up like that cut grass. We're an incorruptible thing that can never be dried up, that will live and abide forever. And the reason why is because of the word of the Lord that's in us. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So, the way that we live this life, this 70 or 80 years, in a way that's most advantageous to us, in a way that's most advantageous to our Lord, is to live it according to his will. And to live it according to his word. Because both of those things are eternal. As we do those things, we are accumulating up for ourselves things that last forever rather than things that other people are going to enjoy for us. Lastly, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 13. So as a result, we need to have a very different kind of perspective in the way that we live our life from the world. We need to live it like this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So he's giving us this really clear idea of how we should live our life. Instead of thinking about, I'm going to make plans for the future, and I'm going to execute on these plans and make them happen. That's the way that the world operates. And they do a lot of things as a result of that. They can be very effective in this world by living that way. They think about what their plans are. Today, I'm going to do this. Tomorrow, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go do this over the next year. I'm going to make this much profit. And I've got it all laid out. I've made my plans for the future. And this is what I'm going to do. The problem with that is that we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So actually, that is a foolish way to live because our lives are so short. You know, we're not guaranteed that 70 or 80 years. I can die tonight. And what I did today is the last day that I ever had a chance to do anything for the Lord. That's it. It's over with. So instead of me trying to figure out what the future should be, instead what I ought to say, Lord, whatever you will, that's what I want to do today. And that's what I want to do tomorrow. And that's what I want to do next year. And spending our time not thinking about how we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish, but asking the Lord to help us to realize and to understand what it is He wants us to accomplish. It's that whole idea. You know, it's so amazing to me how all these things just connect together in a really different ways of saying the same thing. It's that whole idea of watching and praying so that we can see what God's will is and then ask Him how He wants us to participate in that and then do it. That's what Jesus said. He said what? Not my will, but yours. That was the prayer that He prayed there. And that's the way we need to live our life. When we talk about Jesus was an example for us, that's what the example was. Not the exact things that He did. The example was that that's how He lived His life. He said, Lord, not my will, but yours. You show me your will, and I will do it. And He watched for the Father's will, and He prayed about it, and He did it. That's the way that we are to live as well. We need to realize that our life is short, that anything that we could gather here in this world and pull together and pile up as tall as we could pile it up, it's really not worthwhile. It's really just a vapor that's going to be gone in an instant, just like a breath out in the cold. But the thing that lasts forever, the thing that we can take with us when we die, is the things that we did for the Lord, the times that we followed His will, that we recognized what He wanted us to do and was willing to submit our will and our desires and to His will and His desires. And that is the beginning of gaining wisdom in our heart, just realizing how short our days are. And in this small amount of time, be determined not to win the competition here, but to be determined to win the prize that God has for us there.